Have you ever found yourself in a place where you're asking the question, what's all this for?
Or you've seen or heard things and you say to yourself, what does this even mean?
You've got questions.
And we've got answers.
This is the Talk Boys Podcast. Talk boys
come into your house.
We've had the Franklin theme song. All right, so this goes for you people that are close to our age. If you know what Franklin is, it was a cartoon turtle,
the cutest little turtle.
He was so cute, and he taught us a little bit about being a better turtle in society. But anyway, we've had that song stuck in our head.
Just humming it all.
And that was like the only thing that could come out of my mouth when we started recording was, hey, it's Talk Boys. So we're back after a little brief.
That is right.
Break, if you will.
Sometimes you just got to have a mental break. Maybe some time off rather than a mental break.
So you don't have a mental break.
Yes.
There it is. Yeah, I agree, Josh. I think that ultimately we were just very busy.
Yeah.
And with work and life, and it was hitting May, just, you know, traveling, things like that. And so ultimately we found ourselves in a position where we just decided, hey, we're not going to like come up with, you know, topics to talk about. We're just going to take a few weeks off and then we'll come back. And boy, did we just come back ready to go. It felt necessary to take that time off. I don't know. You could disagree with me. I felt like it was necessary.
No, the verbal guns are loaded. The amount of things that you can do in a month and things that you see, stories that you can tell.
It is actually mind-blowing.
It's scary a little bit.
But so this could be a 2-hour episode. I don't know.
You don't know.
You've anticipated, and we're going to try to deliver. So, hey, well, while you're visiting us today on the podcast, one of the amazing things about modern cell phones or cellular devices or whatever you're listening to the podcast is you can open up a separate tab and go to Instagram.
That's right.
What could they do there, Josh?
You can follow us at the Talk Boys Podcast. Subscribe, share. When we drop the Monday morning notification that our new episode is out, add it to your story. Maybe someone that needs this podcast more than you think will find it by you just sharing some love. We need more talk people, right?
We need more talk people. And honestly, the people that have reached out in this break and are just wondering, like, hey, are y'all still doing an episode or is everything okay? Like,
it's surprising.
I've been very thankful for that, but also just want you to know that we see you, we're grateful for you, and in order for us to, you know, continue to bring good content, the best thing that we can do on occasion is take a break. And so I'm not saying like we're just back in a normal routine or whatever that was, but we're going to keep putting episodes out.
Yes, sir.
It was we didn't even have like the best plan because I got back from vacation, but like, as far as, like, when we were going to record this week, we knew what we were going to talk about. We didn't really know what we were going to record.
I texted you yesterday, or last night.
And he was like, do you want to record tomorrow? And I was like, absolutely, I do.
And here we are.
So what is our first segment, as it be?
Oh, dude. Well, you know it. Every episode, we have to start it off with a little segment I like to call, it's a sip of the day. And so, we have been gifted these Ray's Energy Strawberry Coladas by my awesome brother, Jacob. And so he's like, dude, review these. Give one to Holden. I need a rating on this guy. So I've never had this flavor.
I haven't either. By the way, shout out Jacob. Thanks, man.
And so cheers. We know what to do.
Okay, let's do fizz. Pretty fizzy.
It's not bad.
Scent.
Cheers. Oh, we smell it. Put this in our bodies. All right, first sip. Oh, wow.
I feel like I'm sitting on an island somewhere.
Dude, this is it. I got some sand between my toes and in places that I would rather it not be, but I'm not mad about it.
What's that noise in the distance? Steel drums? Are you kidding me? No, it's just Ray's strawberry colada.
Dude, this is so good.
And it's got electrolytes, bro, which is good for you.
I like electricity in my drinks.
I want, you know, basically everything that's telling us to talk right now is, you know, electrical signals from our brain.
This is only going to help us.
It's only going to make those electrical signals better. So people that go, Andrew, drinks aren't good for you. It's like, do you got electricity in your body? Because I got electrolytes in my body.
Bobby Light has electrolytes.
Bobby Light. You get that reference. You're my people.
Yes, 100%. This one's amazing. This might be.
Wow. I probably wouldn't have picked this flavor out.
You're not a strawberry guy?
No, I'm pretty like, I don't know, I'm not picky, but I might have not picked that flavor out. But man, I'm really glad because this might be my favorite Ray's flavor.
Yeah, this is top three of their flavors, in my opinion. This is definitely in the eights.
What's your favorite? Give me your top three.
Out of Ray's?
Yeah.
Well, this one now.
Yeah, I think this may be one for me.
The Baja Lime.
I was going to say that.
And then I don't know what number three would be.
They have one that, and I forget the name of the flavor, but I'm going to figure it out. But it tastes just like you're drinking Starburst.
Oh, wow. Do I look up their website right now?
Yeah. Ray's Energy. Throw us a sponsorship.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Ray's Energy. Here we go.
Oh, they're based in Florida, Josh. Yeah,
in Lakeland. This is how I found out about them.
Lakeland, Florida.
When I used to, not Lakeland. Crap. Starts with an L.
What Longwood. Does
it say? Longwood. That's not too far off.
I've been to Lakeland before.
Yeah.
Land of a thousand Lando lakes.
It's where the butter comes from.
No, I have some friends that live in Lakeland. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, the South Beach one they have is not bad either.
Oh, it is. It's super good. I've had that one too. Voodoo. Voodoo's a good flavor.
That one's good.
It's spooky. Spooky drinks.
I don't know. They don't have a list of their flavors, but this one's amazing. But they do have a new, it's lemonade.
Throw that at me.
I love a good lemonade anything.
You know who has a solid lemonade?
Who?
McAllister's Deli.
Really?
They also have really good sweet tea. So if you want a little Arnie Palmy.
Oh, that's my favorite drink of all time.
Arnold Palmy. And I'm telling you, if you've never had one there,
it is
actually the best. And I don't say that about everything.
And what restaurant is this?
McAllister's Deli, of all places.
I don't think I've ever been there.
It's not like, I feel like it's pretty good. It's a little overpriced, but I used to work near one and I would walk over and get an Arnie Palmy. You know, sometimes you got to treat yourself. So that's what I did.
Just go. Anything that has deli in it, I'm probably not walking in.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Sorry, I was mid-sip.
Do you remember? So in the 90s, this restaurant was big. It was called Piccadilly.
Piccadilly. I've heard of it. I haven't
eaten it there. Reminds me of deli. And this place, it was basically like a retirement home where you eat at, but it was a deli.
So it's like the cafeteria. Have you ever eaten a K&W?
No.
Cafeteria?
Yeah. You get your tray.
Yeah.
And you go down the line. You're like, I'd like a square piece of a fried fish.
Yeah.
And you get that. And then you get some Jell-O.
We used to call K&W Canes and Walkers. Dude, so much Jell-O. Dude, so much fish.
Did you have the unlimited ice cream?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why do old people like cafeteria style restaurants? Why? Because
I don't know.
There's J&S, there's K&W, probably other brands of
Piccadilly,
cafeteria.
Dude.
Yeah, Piccadilly. But God. And it's always fried fish. And you have I ever told you my theory on why old people eat fried fish a lot? Like, old people love fish houses or fish camps.
Fish camps, yes. Yeah, they do.
So I've always wondered why old people love that so much, and I think I figured it out. And I could be 100% wrong, okay? I think it is because a lot of them have dentures, and fish is a soft protein.
That actually makes sense.
Hey, that is my theory. I'm going to stand beside it until someone
makes sense
that is over 70 listens to our podcast and tells me that I'm...
Dude, I wonder if there's a Piccadilly.
I would say over 75 probably is the when you get to the fish age.
There surely is not. The closest one is in Atlanta, Georgia.
Field trip?
Let's go. So we can get some retirement home food.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, but that's why I probably wouldn't walk into a deli. But
I love a good deli.
I'd love to go to McAllister's.
I'm actually not the biggest fan of their food's pretty good, but it's not like.
Okay. Retract that statement.
Their food's pretty good. Like, if you get a club sandwich at McAllister's, solid sandwich.
Yeah.
But I like to go in Myrtle Beach, we have those nice, rude New York delis here.
Yeah.
Where people that kind of wrote to you, they talk to you like this. So a lot of people know this, but Myrtle Beach is like basically South New York, New Jersey.
Really?
Here? Dude, think about it.
I've never been to those places.
But like, think about the people that move here predominantly.
Oh, the people, yes. Yeah, everyone moves from that area to here when they're over, what, 35?
Or even young people. I know young people that are from... That like from New York and New Jersey, and like
they're so rude.
You're from. They're so rude. I think it's almost endearing some of the rudeness. But like
I kind of like it.
You're from Florida. I'm from North Carolina. I moved here further south, thinking it's about to be man. You know, like the Myrtle I knew was like Myrtle. You know,
yeah.
I move here and I'm like I feel like the most southern thing here, and that is true. It's because it's almost excluded from the South because most people here like us that are is, not actually
yeah. There's
from
not
here.
A lot. I wouldn't say there's a lot of southern South Carolina people here.
Not at all. I would say the majority of people have moved from up north, New York, New Jersey, Ohio. Yep. Ohio, a lot of Ohioans here. Is it Ohioan?
Ohain.
Ohain means family.
Ohain.
Because my heart is in Ohio.
You remember Ohana? Is that what
That's
you're
what
trying
I was
to...
trying
oh,
to
okay.
Ohio means family.
God, my daughter will run around talking like Stitch. And I'm like, man, I hope you don't voice doesn't get stuck like this.
Dude, Stitch. It's kind of freaky because them teeth, man. If you think, I don't know. I'm not going to talk about that. We're not going down a Lilo and Stitch rabbit hole. But.
No, but.
Yeah, so thank you, Jacob, for the drink.
Yeah, super good. You have fueled today's episode. So some life updates. It's been a couple of weeks. There's a lot to update, I'm sure.
We haven't put out an episode in, what, 3 weeks? Maybe a month?
Maybe a month.
Maybe 5 weeks? I don't know.
I don't know either. But.
I don't know what happened yesterday.
Give me some life updates, man.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Man. Well, I had a birthday.
Yeah, you did.
And I turned 30.
Holy crap, you're old.
I think a lot of people made it a bigger deal as far as like the fact that I was turning 30.
Yeah.
And there was never like a yay, you're 30. It's always like,
oh, man.
You're on your way to death. They're like,
you just got. You just gotta be like,
Have you bought your burial plot yet? The one thing I will say is, like, I get the whole, like, turning 30, how things are different.
Yeah. Like how people see you?
I feel very different now, being 30. Not that, like, I feel like I've wised up or anything, but I think you have time to reflect on the previous decade.
Yeah.
And, like, so, like, 20-year-old Holden a decade ago. Like, I thought I knew everything, and I feel like I know less now than I did then.
Sure.
Is that, would that be?
That is accurate, yes.
That's how
20-year-old Josh is a fool of a person. He's an idiot.
Every morning at 20, I should have walked out of my house and got punched in the face by a bear. You know, idiot.
Just pawed.
Yeah.
Just
open hand paw smack, but no claws. Just let me know, hey, I love you, but you're an idiot. But, no, I feel like... in some ways, it's like turned over a new leaf. And I'm, you know, people go, oh, you're in a quarter life crisis. I'm like, you think I'm, how old do you think I'm going to live, man? It's a 30?
That's yeah, quarter.
Not so, even a third, bro. No. That would imply I'm living to 90.
No thanks.
You ever seen someone 6'4" at over 85? Not a chance. So I did that the whole 30 birthday. And so my wife actually purchased us a little vacation to celebrate. So the week of my birthday, and you can attest to this, was kind of crazy busy.
It was nuts.
And so my birthday day kind of felt weird. Like it just, because I was so busy, like preparing for everything that was going on.
Yeah.
And so I think in some ways my wife felt bad that we didn't really do a whole lot on my birthday, but I was like, no, like, don't worry about it. It is A-okay. Like, we'll be, you know, we're about to go out of town. So yeah. I wasn't really concerned about the day, but she booked us a cruise. So we went on a cruise all last week. Like, we were gone all last week. So I was gone from Monday to Monday.
That is a good cruise. That's a good, some good time off right there.
We came back. It was like a, we left Monday and we came back Saturday. And but then I just hung out for a few days, which was
staycation.
Nice. It was, yeah. I think, okay, time to reflect. If you go on vacation, here's some king moves that you can make. Right, get your pen and paper. One, do not return back. Don't drive back from your vacation if you have a long drive the day before you go back to work.
Yeah. That's,
give yourself a day buffer, even if you make your vacation shorter. The reason being, if you driving is exhausting. Go on an airplane or whatever, however you travel. I don't know. Maybe you have a private helicopter. Maybe you got it like that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is like, leave yourself a little buffer. So we had a minimum Sunday, but I also took Monday as, and a lot of it's because I was planning on going and picking up our dog Sunday, but we just went and got him Saturday. So that gave me,
George needed to come home.
He needed, yeah, he was ready to be home. He actually had a busy week at grandma's because he slept for like 2 days straight.
That's like, amazing.
Didn't bark at anything, yeah. Like nothing. And he doesn't bark a lot. But so that's one thing. Give yourself a few days buffer before you go on vacation.
Smart.
The second thing, advice for traveling, clean your house spotless before you leave.
I was just about to say that.
That is like, if you know that you've arrived as an adult, the most adult thing that you can do is to clean your home. Like, and I'm talking like, dude, clean, you know, that fan blade in your spare bedroom has so much dust on it.
Get that thing a wipe down.
Get that thing, put a mask on.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Don't breathe them things in. No, but seriously, like that type of clean, because then when you come back, you can literally just put your, I put my bags in the laundry room, and I just immediately start washing laundry.
Yeah.
And not that I have it all together, but I think the whole cleaning your house thing is great. Throw away anything that's perishable before you leave so you don't come back and there's any weird smells in your house.
An old can of guac.
That's yeah, the like worst. You're not going to keep that, Jerry.
No.
But cruising was great. We went to the Bahamas, and I've been to the Bahamas multiple, I think this was my like third or fourth time.
Really?
Going to the Bahamas.
Nice.
I've cruised multiple times, but I've also like traveled down there, and I have some friends that live in an island down there that I'll like
really?
Go down. Yeah. And the island's called Man O' War Key. Super cool spot. Very small. I want to go back so bad. It's my favorite part of the Bahamas.
Man O' War Key, huh?
And it's spelled C-A-Y-K, but they say Key. That's how they pronounce it. The Bahamians. But love that island down there. Played some music last time I was there, but I think it was 2019. But we went on a cruise. Dude, cruising, and you know this, Josh, because you've taken a cruise, right?
Oh,
multiples.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The best people watching in the entire world is on a cruise ship.
100%.
That
price that you pay to go on a cruise, that's included.
If you are looking at value bang for your buck, especially if you're a frequent cruiser, you will save so much money frequently cruising. But the second thing is you get your weight in just a food, people watching, activities. I honestly, me and my wife were talking about it, we could have not even got off at any of the islands and we'd have been fine. Like, because I've seen Nassau before. It's very okay. Like, not that I'm saying like it's not awesome, it's beautiful. But like, you know, I tend to get us in kind of sketchy situations in foreign countries, and I almost did.
Of course you do.
So we got out of the car, or got out of the car. We got out of the boat, out of the big ship, and we ported, and we got into Nassau. We walk into the town of Nassau, and a guy pulls us aside and says, hey. Now, mind you, the Carnival, like, this isn't a review, but we went Carnival. I've done Royal Caribbean before, too. I like Royal a little bit better.
Yeah.
But Carnival's cheaper. So the guy, we didn't want to buy any shore excursions because we've done them before. We just wanted to kind of like stay cheap.
Are you serious? You didn't want to swim with the stingray?
Dude, it's such a shore excursion. Go do your own thing. So I got off the boat and Brittany and I walked into Nassau and a guy goes, hey, I will put you in like my van. I'm a tour guide or whatever.
God.
And I'll take you all the way around the island, like anything you want to see for $45. And hey, check it out, dude. I know a fair and honest value when I see one. $45 for the day? Who doesn't do that? Yeah. And I'm kind of sitting here thinking, sizing them up. Like, I'm like, if things go crazy, I'll drop this dude. I'll commandeer the vehicle and drive us back to the.
Yeah.
Well, he actually was a delight. Sold us on it. We were all in. He goes, what I'd like to do, it's going to be like triple the cost if I don't get another couple to go with you. So he was like standing there at the port waiting on more people to come, and he was going to get one more couple to hop in the van with us, you know, just to like go so that our price is cheaper, because it was going to be like 180 versus 45 for us to get the van by ourselves.
Okay.
And we had the money, but I'm kind of cheap when it comes to stuff like that. So I was like, we'll wait on the other couple. And so we waited. The other couple shows up. He had kind of pulled them out of like the market there, and he grabs the guy, introduces us, and then he goes, well, I'm going to take out all these beautiful sights. And the guy goes, he basically just says, I don't care to see any of that. I just want you to take me so I can buy drugs.
What? The random guy in the market?
He wanted the tour guide to take him to where drugs were. And at first I was like, you're not being like straightforward. And then he goes, well, mainly I just want to get some weed. I want to smoke a blunt. And Brittany looks at me. And then the tour guide goes, well, I'll put them in the back seat, very back, and then y'all in the middle, like so he could smoke weed. And so like he goes, I'm going to go get the van. I'll be right back. And Brittany looked at me. She's like, you always do this, and I'm not going. So if you want to go, you want to go. And I was still in. I'm like, let's do it. It'll be weird, but it's an experience, right? So we literally ditched that.
Oh, you...
He went to go get the van thinking we'd be there when we got around the corner.
He said, nah, son.
Dude, zigzagged down a few creepy alleys and got out of there. We just walked out. She goes, I'm not doing this. I'm not going. So the other weird thing on the cruise, amongst a lot of things, was every night at dinner, you know, if you've gone on a cruise before,
yes,
they have the dining rooms, you have your dinner time, and you literally just order ridiculous amounts of food, pretty much anything you want. And they always have like, you know, the chef's special. I'll learn how to talk. And so every night we're eating, there's a couple like with us, because you know, on a cruise ship,
yeah, you get random strangers.
They put you
at
a random stranger, which I actually like. My wife, being introverted, she hates. But the couple was a delight. They had just got engaged at Disney World.
How
they're
cute.
Young. We were kind of like the 30-year-old couple that was like giving them life advice for some reason. I don't know. But they were great. They were delightful.
Yeah.
And so each night, we towards the end of dinner, a guy walks in to the dining room, like this nice, elegant dining room on a cruise ship, and he's wearing a full trench coat, a mask, not like a mask to rob things, but like a medical mask.
Yeah.
A top hat, like an actual, like, full top hat.
Little Abraham Lincoln vibe?
Yes.
Really?
And he, like, walks with purpose, like, straight by our table. And then he kind of goes into a corner. And I've actually got pictures of him. I took some candids because I was like, someone has to know.
We'll put him up there so you can
see
what we're talking
about. About day two, he would stand like around one of the bars and kind of like lurk.
Nope.
Look around the dining room. And he's like, probably 6 foot, a easy 350, like big dude. And he's got top hat on, trench coat, like dressed to the nines, full trench coat, just, and he like barrels past our table every night and like walks through the dining room, kind of like staring around real weird. And I'm like, what the heck's going on? So day two, we figure out he works for the boat, and he always has like this little like satchel in his hand, like a little bag. Yeah. He has a bag the whole time. And I'm like, you know, my mind immediately goes, he's got a gun in there. But like, it could have been goldfish. Like, he could have wanted a snack. Like, you know,
I put it in this nice duffel.
But he's got a bag, and he would literally like walk around and like lurk. And so I'm going every night at dinner, I'm trying to figure out, we're talking to the people at our table with us, including the table beside us. Everybody around us is making eye contact. Like, we're all trying to figure out,
who's this guy?
It is like, he is, it's a menacing look on his face. And we're all kind of freaked out every night because he just kind of walks in. And it's funny, like the third night we were there, we're like, oh no, where's Top Hat at? Like at the end of dinner, because we hadn't seen him. Dude literally walks out as soon as we say it. It was like freaky. And then he would just like poof, you know, it's kind of like
he
wasn't there.
He didn't
anymore.
Talk to anyone.
No. So we're like, is he security? How does he fit into this? If he's security, he's really bringing attention to himself. He's not doing a good job. So the last, was it second to last day we're on the boat, which was Friday, breakfast time, we see the guy not wearing a top hat. He's wearing a very tight shirt. I have the picture of him in the shirt, like a very tight, like sports looking shirt with like card pictures of like cards all over it, like blackjack cards or whatever. Yeah. And a matching like do-rag that also has the cards on it as well. Like it looked like it came from wish.com. And he's going around to tables doing card tricks.
Oh, no way.
And his name is Vladimir, and he is a magician. So we found out that this menacing top hat guy that did no tricks all week just was walking around to create a stir in the room so that he could do magic tricks on the last day of the boat, and everybody would go, oh, okay, he's not as weird as we thought. He's just a magician. So
what?
When we found out he was a magician, what? I remember Brittany goes, like, her and the couple that was across from us, the guy's, like, I guess, fiance, she and Brittany were both, like, in the consensus of, like, I'm not buying it that he's a magician. But I took a video of him doing a card trick to verify that. So the whole time.
How freaking weird, dude.
Freaky top hat guy.
That's Clark. He lives here.
His name is Vlad.
Oh, and of course.
He's a Russian magician and just actually delightful guy. We kind of profiled him, but that's what you get if you are. Because my thing is, if you wear a top hat, follow me here. If you wear a top hat, that's a commitment, because I imagine you got to bring a separate bag for that thing.
Yes. Yeah.
a hard case.
Yeah. Sir, what is this? That's my top hat.
Yeah. So what about you?
I do a lot of tricks. Dude, my dad used to do tricks all the time.
Did he have a top hat?
No, he didn't. He was a Sunday school teacher when I was little. And he would do, we couldn't call it magic, because you can't say stuff is magic in church.
It was illusions for Jesus.
He would call
it.
He would call it tricks. These are tricks, not magic. We don't do
like
magic.
Like the cereal?
We do tricks. Yeah, with an X.
Tricks are for kids.
And he would do the...
that was a slogan.
Oh, I hate it.
See, I would have loved your dad growing up, because he was the guy that all the kids would flock to so that he could do a trick.
Golly. He would do the cup and the ball and make it disappear.
Really?
And then just reappear behind the ear. We're in third grade. What do we know? He actually is doing magic. And so, anyways, that's weird. It's awesome, but...
No top hats, though?
No. My dad in the top hat, someone's calling the cops. They just aren't.
I was waiting on a monocle. I said it the last day. I go, the last day we're here, he's going to put the top hat on the floor and jump into it and disappear.
Good day to you, sir.
I said good day.
He just goes in.
What's new with you?
Oh, man. I've just been doing life, man. Doing life with the family. We're getting some fishing in. Starting to get hotter out there, so their fish are biting. And so,
they're bedding this time of the year.
Yeah. And lost.
Or spawning, if you will.
Spawning. Spawn.
It's where they make more fish.
Make more. They're making more fish and we're catching them. Oh, man. And so, so my parents come in town this past weekend, and my dad, since I'm a little kid, is obsessed with crab legs. Obsessed. There are some people who like crab legs. There's some people, oh, yeah, we have tradition. That, but then there's an obsession. That's my dad.
My stepdad's like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there is an option for crab legs, he's going to get them.
Him and my wife both are.
Really?
Dude, massive crab leg fans.
So I like them. They're good.
I do too, but I'm not like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Eat all the legs. You got to crack them like this. You gotta crack them like this.
Oh, they got a system, dude.
Dude, my dad will do tricks that, and people will see him and like, what is he doing? And then they'll pull out, he'll just pull out the meat of the leg, and then it's like.
Meat tricks. He just throws it across the restaurant into someone else's sweet tea.
Meat tricks.
Can you imagine a cereal?
He does tricks. That's what I'm saying. It all comes full circle.
Can you imagine if you had a cereal like tricks, but it was, that's what I was imagining.
Just crab legs on the cereal bowl.
It's just like, instead of like the actual cereal, it's just meat tricks. Oh. Meat tricks are for adults. Tricks are for kids.
Oh, that's so gross. So he's over there. When they don't crack, he gets upset. And it doesn't crack right.
Yeah.
Because they don't cook them right. Dude, I'm talking about, he's blowing at the end. He's hitting it against the table to get it out. Dude.
Like a blow dart.
It's a crabby blow dart.
Hit somebody.
It's, dude. So the whole thing is quite an adventure. So in Myrtle Beach, there's tons of like, oh, you can eat crab, seafood. They're kind of just gross to me.
Some of them are good.
This one's good, but just the idea of it's going to smell like a seafood dumpster in there, and we're paying a lot of money to go there.
You never leave and go, ah, that was awesome. You always leave and go, I'm sweating butter.
Yeah. Oh, dude. My pores smell like they're so salty. That's just not good. So we're in there for an hour straight. He's the guy who goes, oh, will you just tell them what I'm going to drink? I'm going to go ahead and get in line.
Yeah. So my wife, my stepdad, are exactly that way. Like, clinical, but when I tell you, they get their money's worth.
Yes. So my dad paid for all of us how much he ate every time. And then every time I'm like, I'm just going to get something else. He goes, hey, well, just pick me up a cluster. I'm going to eat it. Dad, it's one per person. I know, but you're going up there. You might as well get me one. And he's just, I've never seen anyone eat more crab legs than that man. And then he just goes, all right, you guys want to get some ice cream? I'm like, how? Where do you put it?
We're full of crab meat.
Bro, he puts down two soft serve vanilla cones.
And he's like a thin guy.
Yeah, he's not out of shape. He just crushes two ice cream cones after 19 clusters of crab legs. And I'm going, this is, and it attracts, that atmosphere is for certain people.
Sure.
It's not for everyone.
No.
My wife would be like, I'm good. Can we just go to Carrabba's? And my mom would do the same. But for me and my dad,
they got trees on the roof, Carrabba's.
That's why do they have that? trees on the roof.
We have a garden on the roof because that's like Italy. Italy, they got gardens
they
on
got
the roof.
They got trees everywhere.
Trees on the roof. But don't call me a tree head. and Emil and Akka's show. Ain't that
a classic? So,
what a great. So he had two cones,
dude. He just all right. I'm like, all right, Dad, we're gonna go. Well, they're about to close. I said, yeah, I know. We have to go. A, no one else can eat anything out. Like, we just got to go. He goes, all right. Let me get a cone to go. He makes himself the biggest cone. He's just walking out like my four-year-old daughter, who does not have an ice cream cone, just walking out.
I saw that video on your Instagram story.
He's an actual legend, man. I don't get it.
That gave me life. It was the best.
He's the best. Just so much joy in his heart.
So that's what's new in our lives.
It was just such a monumental night. I gotta tell someone about this. So
I love that so much.
So we're updated. We're good.
We're caught up on life. Our next segment is
the Urban Dictionary Word of the Day.
Word of the Day. What is? I actually have not looked at this.
And this one's kind of a phrase, right? And the phrase itself, you probably said it. We use it all the time, but I don't think we actually know what it means. So the Urban Dictionary Word of the Day is on my way. Here's the definition. Here's the actual definition of on my way. When a, in quotes, friend refers to a period in time where they are thinking about leaving, but could actually arrive anywhere from 1 to 6 hours, usually later than sooner. Use it in a situation. Garrett says, don't worry, man, I'm on my way, in parentheses, 3 hours later.
You know those people.
Yes.
And I've been that person before. I try not to be that person that says, on my way. But I know people that when they say, like, and you know this.
Because yes.
If you don't know this, you're that person, heads up. But when people say, on my way, and you know that particular person, when they say, on my way, that means, like, it's going to be forever.
They're
like,
not even freaking close.
And we'll even joke about it. We'll be like, yeah, that means they've just left their house and they're an hour away.
Oh, dude, it drives me nuts. But in emergency situations, I can be that guy. Of like, yeah. I'm in my house. I still got to put my socks and shoes on. I'm like, all right, I'm on my way.
Which, technicality.
Technically, I am.
That's on your way.
But
from the time you wake up. I don't. How about that feeling, though? When you get up and you know that you're going to be late and you know that you have somewhere important to be at. When you're in traffic. It
actually causes me to sweat.
Dude, when you're in traffic, all of a sudden everyone is slow. Is that not accurate?
Yeah.
And I've always said I've said this before on this podcast, like it's typically like my or your fault if we're late. But in that instance, it's the red lights.
Everyone, the traffic needs to be adjusted.
Everyone's driving. Yeah. You mean you can't do 70 to 45? You idiots, drive faster.
Everyone's out to get you.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy cut me off. He's like, no, he didn't. You were speeding and he just got over.
It's like, what's this guy's problem? Yeah, that dude. And I hate that feeling. Yes. Because you cannot shave off the amount of time that you're hoping to shave off.
You're still late. It's just how late you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you just roll in and you got to apologize to everybody and you feel like you really let them down for being late.
I just hate being late, period. Do you remember that? Was it a couple months ago where I just...
You overslept?
Dude, my wife was out of town. So my alarm clock, it's just, I am the heaviest sleeper.
And I can attest to this because I've heard this man's alarm clock go off for an hour straight, and he didn't hear it at all.
So usually my wife will be like, Josh, would you get up, dude?
Gives
like,
you a gentle shake?
Yes, get. No, it's not. It's like a forearm across the chest.
Because she's trying to sleep.
Yeah, and then, yeah, she's like, get your dumb phone. So this happens. We work at 9. It's a staff meeting every morning, every Monday morning. I get up, I look at the clock, my wife's out of town, it says 10:30.
Yep, I remember this day.
Dude, I look at it, I go, no, it's not
10:30. We were wondering if you were okay that day, because we were like...
I grab my phone, there's 15 missed calls.
Yeah, we were all calling you because we thought something was wrong. Because when you're late, 30 minutes, right. An hour and a half goes by, no one's heard anything, we're like, has he had a heart attack?
And then... Some of y'all called my wife. Carmen can't reach me. I know. I walked in. The amount of shame I had. I'm sweating right now thinking about it. The amount of shame I had walking in. It was just like, I have failed my family, my friends, freaking everyone.
So, hey, we're all late, and in that instance, it was all cool because we knew that you're a heavy sleeper. And there's nothing you could do. I will say this. If you're the person who is consistently late, and in seasons I've been that person, you know, just depending on what I have going on, just be realistic with the people around you. I had someone give me like a pro tip of like, if you're the guy that says I'm on my way home to your wife, for instance.
Oh yeah.
And your wife knows for a fact that you're only 10 minutes from home and it takes you 20. Like, don't say you're on your way home till you're actually driving.
Yeah. I do that all the time and I hate it.
Like, just be realistic and, oh, there's traffic. Now, you don't have to lie. Traffic was terrible. There was a wreck.
There's cars everywhere.
Fire. There's a volcano. Lava on the road. Anyway, but no, I will say, like, don't be an unreliable person. Because if you're late all the time, it makes people think that you're unreliable. And I don't believe that any of you are. But I had somebody, like, say that one time because I had been late, like, I don't know, like two weeks in a row to something at one point in time. I remember they were like, well, I just wouldn't want anyone to think that you're unreliable. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I've got to be on time.
I've got
to be on time for everything now. Yes. So
the Marine staff sergeant I used to run with always said, being late all the time is not an alarm clock issue. It's a character flaw.
Yeah.
And I was just like, gosh. Oh,
and that hurts, but it's true.
It is true. Yeah.
That is so factual. Like it is actually a character flaw.
It's an easy one to fix too.
The thing that I find with people, so for me, when I'm late, it's not because I woke up late. As you know, I'm an extremely early riser.
Yeah, you are.
If I'm late, it's because I didn't have a realistic thought process of how long it was going to take me to do something before I had to be there.
That's it.
So,
that's it.
Like, almost overshoot anything you have to do. So, like, if you know it's going to take you 15 minutes to get ready, give yourself 30 minutes so that in case you have to... You take a phone call or in case you have to do something. Not that I'm the picture of life advice.
Right, right.
But just do that. Seriously, it will make you a better person. So at 39 minutes, we're going to hop into a fun topic. This is a topic we're both pretty excited about.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about automobiles.
Vehicles.
Vehicle. I would say vehicles.
Yeah, there's a bunch. Yeah, yeah. When we talked about this, it was one of those things like, I don't know anything about cars, like the mechanics of a car, any of that stuff. I know you do, but then you're like, no, dude, think about it this way. And I was like, I freaking love cars.
Yeah, I even said, I don't think our listener base is wondering how a car works.
No, nor do they care.
They don't care.
No.
So it's like, they just know if it sounds weird, you know?
Yeah.
So it's more about like... The automobile's been around for over 100 years now, and the way that it's grown and the way that the industry has developed and the way modern cars are as opposed to old cars, and, you know, we could go into all the weeds of that, but ultimately, to a certain extent, everyone is a car person. Now, being a car guy comes with a lot of, like, you know, oh, you're a car guy or you're a car girl. It doesn't mean you're turning wrenches necessarily, but
no.
I think everyone has a deep-seated want to have some sort of vehicle. Like, it's one of those things that
we,
like,
all use them.
We were the first country to mass produce automobiles. Henry Ford. Dude, we'll go in another history.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the Ford Ferrari story? So
I didn't watch the movie. It looked good.
So I haven't seen the movie either, but essentially, Henry Ford wanted to have a car in Le Mans, which was like a very popular race. Well, Ferrari won it every year. And so he approached Enzo Ferrari like to kind of like collab. And basically, Ferrari was kind of a prude and like laughed at Henry Ford.
Yeah,
so Henry
yeah.
Ford, in true American fashion, came back to the U.S. He partnered with Carroll Shelby, and they built a car, took it back to Le Mans, and beat Ferrari.
Incredible.
It's like the most American story. So if you think about that, like whether you're American or not, automobiles, like Josh, where would your love for like vehicles have started? And like, where do you remember it being? Because I feel like, especially for little boys.
Yeah.
Dude, trucks, cars.
What were the yellow, like Tonka trucks?
Oh, dude.
Oh, dude, yes.
Dude.
Yep.
Dude, when we were kids, they were metal. I don't know if they're still metal, but those things weighed like you could ride on it almost.
Yeah, you could sit on it. Well, Hot Wheels, man. We would get those every Christmas. My mom would put Hot Wheels in our stockings, like just a couple of random ones, right? Here's what's crazy. I used to collect Hot Wheels and keep the paperbacks on them. My mom just brought me a whole, hey, I think these are yours. And I still have, they're in my house right now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I had the little Rolly suitcase. Yes. I wasn't necessarily the biggest Hot Wheels fan. I was a Matchbox fan. And the reason I was is because they were more legit to the actual vehicle. Like, so Hot Wheels were like this
like
hyped
concept
up,
a little bit.
Like, they were hyped up version of the vehicle. I like Matchbox. This shows a little of the weirdness of me. Yeah. So, funny thing, and my mother can verify this. She tells a story. When I was in a car seat, so back in the day, if you're in a car seat, you're basically a baby. Like, I've been out of a car seat for years. Now kids are in car seats till they're like 12.
I don't get it. Yeah, so, it's weird.
But when I was a kid, you just were in a car seat till you were done, like, being a baby and your head sealed up.
That's so true.
You got that full, when you got that full skull.
You got a full head of hair, get out of there.
That soft spot closed, you were ready to be in a real seat. So we would ride by cars, and my mom and dad both say this. They said that as we passed, I could tell you the brand and model of that, make and model of every vehicle.
This makes so much sense.
Even from a distance, they said I would go, and my mother would verify this.
Yeah.
I would go like, that's a Chevrolet, that's a Ford, Corvette, Camaro, Mustang, you know, from like long distances away. So from like childhood, I had this thing pre-ingrained in me that I just loved anything with a motor, like anything that was propelled and could go fast. I remember one of my first toys that I remember getting that I loved was a pedal car. If you know what those are?
Oh, yeah.
I got
one. You sit down, like, yeah, it's like a little go-kart looking thing.
And you pedal one way and it goes forward, and you pedal the other way and it goes backwards. I had a pedal car. My brother broke it, but I had a pedal car. Like, I loved anything that would like with a motor. And so same, I had the Matchbox cars. Hey, did you have the car rug that had the little city?
Yes.
Dude.
That was me and my brother's actual city where we could drive our own cars.
I saw a picture online. It might have been a video where a guy recarpeted his vehicle and that was the carpet he used.
Genius.
It was so cool.
How
I was like,
genius is that?
I want that so bad. But yeah, that was like, bro, that was like, I remember laying on the floor and creating scenarios.
Yes.
I don't know why, but like there was a scenario on the floor that I like robbed a bank.
Of course, yes.
So I have like a getaway car.
That's the fast car. Yes, dude.
Yeah, the getaway car. And then I had a truck in the woods so that I could four-wheel away. Like I created stupid.
That's super creative.
Super stupid. I had a motorcycle in case I really needed to get away.
Yeah, yeah.
But dude, it seems like something pre-ingrained in me, even from like as a little kid.
Yes,
that I just loved anything but loud.
Did you ever go to? Did your parents ever take you to like car shows and
stuff?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yes.
We would do the. They would have the cruise-in nights, you know, with old Camaros, old Corvettes, just like, you know, classic Transams and, you know, 57 Chevy Bel Air, like these beautiful old cars. Like, dude, the old metal cars.
You're a muscle car guy.
I like them all. Dude, okay. Exotic muscle cars, tuners, like, I do not discriminate. I love them all. Like, and I think at each point in my life, I've had a different phase of that. But yeah, like, dude, there's just something there. So, dude, did you ever have, like, other than, like, a pedal cart or a bicycle, did you ever have, like, a motor-propelled vehicle as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you have?
Yeah, so my dad was, he would always tinker with stuff, right? And so he goes, I want to get the boys something, me and my brothers. So he comes home one day with this all-black go-kart.
Yeah.
And it was this big old engine in the back, no roll cage. Just a bench seat. There were no
street cart.
Yes, there were no shocks. So you hit something.
Metal frame, baby.
Metal frame. And I was just always blown away that he would let me drive this thing. Well, we're not in the woods. We're not in the country. We're in Jacksonville.
You're in the city.
Yes. And not the best part of town. It just wasn't.
Yeah.
And so there wasn't really woods to drive it on, except the side of the street. just where there's kind of just dirt kicked up and everything. Oh man, we would just we and he put this thing called a torque converter.
Torque converter, yeah. It was like a belt drive on one wheel.
Put it on that sucker, dude, and it changed everything. I can't tell you the science behind it, but I know that it was more dangerous, and I loved it.
I feel like your dad and my dad are so similar, because when we were kids, for Christmas, my dad could not wait to give me and my older brother this gift. So it's like a week out from Christmas, and he said, I heard him go.
He folded?
I heard him go, boys. And like when dad said boys, that meant you were right there in front of him.
Yep.
And so we thought, at the time we had a pet rabbit, and that rabbit was Satan. It was actually the devil. The rabbit would bite you and scratch you.
Yeah.
But candidly, it was a class pet, and it started like attacking the children. And
so they gave it away.
They gave it away to our family.
Good.
So we had this stupid mean bunny, and his name was Snoopy, and he was just a big hopping jerk. Yeah. And so I hear my dad go, boys. And we thought he was going to have us clean out Snoopy's cage, which meant we were going to get bit and everything in order to clean out his cage. We ended up giving the rabbit away to someone who had like a farm. I don't know. They might have ate it. I don't care. Anyway, so we get to the garage, and in the garage is sitting a street cart, just like the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
No shocks. It didn't have the off-road tires on it or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it just, dude, pull so start.
Bad. Yes. Yes, dude.
Briggs and Stratton motor. Interestingly enough about the motor, my dad, who's much like your dad, can't leave well enough alone.
No, not at all.
Most go-karts are governed, which means they only go so fast. Yep. My dad pulled a motor off of a wood chipper.
Oh my God.
That had like quadruple the horsepower, that was ungoverned, and he put it on the go-kart. And so the go-kart would do like 70 miles an hour. On pavement. Dude, literally, we wore the tire off on one side because it was only one wheel, like, drive propelled. This was a legit thing. The tire got bald really quick because on pavement, it would spin tires. It had that much power. Like, to be that small.
So, like, throw you back in the seat.
Oh, it would spin on pavement until you got going. But, dude, that is so wild. I feel like in some ways we had a very similar childhood.
Yes, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Did you ever have any dirt bikes or four-wheelers? Four-wheeler?
No. It was weird because the go-kart, the small, like, backyard we had, we could, like, tuck it away in there. Like, no one had, like, it's not in the country. It's, a neighborhood.
Yeah.
But my cousins always had, like, the four-wheelers.
Yeah.
There was this thing called the Honda Odyssey that they had. You know what I'm talking about?
What is that? Because it sounds like a van.
It is a van now, but it was a like an ATV off-road like vehicle with a roll cage.
Oh yeah, so like one of those side-by-sides. Was that what it was?
I gotta find it. I gotta find it.
Honda Odyssey. Dude, do you remember three-wheelers?
Yes.
Death machines.
Yeah.
Dude.
More. Oh, dude, this is it. Honda Odyssey ATV. It's like a go-kart on steroids, but I'm pretty sure.
Is it a single-seater?
Yes. Let me show you this.
Yes. Right, so it's like a hyped-up go-kart.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but it was like kind of lifted a little bit.
Bro.
That thing almost killed so many people driving that thing because it would flip. Because it was kind of narrow.
I feel like my dad always had us some sort of toy, and my mom hated it because she was just like overprotective. So any toy that we had, she would – well, and also because we were kind of daredevils. Like, it wasn't – we couldn't just ride something and leave it alone. We had to jump it, and we had to figure out how to ride a wheelie 100 yards. And so I had, dirt bikes. I had a racing four-wheeler in high school, and it was, like, crazy fast.
Really?
And
like, go over jumps type thing?
Oh, dude, it was – yeah. It was super fast. And two-stroke, and – it would run, but I always had some sort of toy like that growing up, and so, no wonder.
They're just the best, man.
So let's do this. We actually asked you some questions on IG, Instagram.
We did. Some good questions, too. So what was your first car?
I think when we talked about this before, but we'll go ahead and remind, I had a 1991 Chevrolet single cab four-wheel drive pickup.
So that didn't have like a name? Was it like an S10?
It was like a Silverado.
Okay.
It was like a full-size Chevy truck.
A big truck.
Single cab, long bed, four-wheel drive, had a brush guard on it, mud tires.
That is a huge car.
It is actually, it's a large vehicle, but a lot of great memories in that truck.
Yes, so many good memories.
It belonged to my grandfather. He passed away, and when I turned 16, when my brother turned 16, he got it, and when I turned 16, I drove it. So,
so he passed it down from you,
he passed it down, and actually they actually gave him a nicer truck when he turned 18 and graduated high school. When I turned 18 and graduated high school, they did not do that.
Sure.
And I asked my dad why, and he said, I learned from my mistakes.
Just obliterated it.
Yeah, so, it was kind of, the truck didn't have AC. It didn't have cruise control.
Oh.
But I just drove that thing everywhere.
It was such a gift because it's your first car. Like, what's the first, in quotes, upgrade that you did?
Sound system. Yeah. I put way too much money in the sound system.
Yes.
I had 3 12-inch subs in a single cab truck behind the seat.
How'd you fit them in there?
I had to move the seat forward. I had to put competition subs in a shallow mount box, which is not ideal. Angle them up. Hey, just so you know, if you, any of you that are listening, any of my old friends, if you ever rode in that old truck, you probably know me better than anyone. Like we at least have that memory because that truck just went through it, man. It wasn't really nice.
Right.
Like as far as like no one looked at it and was like, wow. But like
good memories.
It just made me and it went everywhere, man. You just drove it and it was reliable and it got like 8 miles a gallon. And
dude, how could you park that thing?
My gas every month costs more than my insurance did at 16.
Insane.
Just driving to school and to work. Like I literally paid. I worked to pay for fuel and all that. But yeah, that like if so, if you ever rode in that truck, you know
the real.
You're home. An OG.
Yep.
What about you? What was your?
My first car was a 1991 Eddie Bauer.
Eddie Bauer. Both 91s. Interestingly enough, had 91 vehicles.
Ford Explorer. It was Hunter Green, dude. And it had a 3-inch body lift with some big old tires.
Just the lift that rode terribly.
Dude, just that car would beat you up. And it was the leather seats.
Yeah.
Right? But they weren't like nice leather seats.
Tore up a little bit.
They were tore up and they were hardened. It was like sitting on glass.
You had to put that seat cover on.
Yeah, dude. I had the cheap seat cover. And that car, I almost died in that car at least 3 times doing just dumb stuff. Because I would think, oh, it's four-wheel drive.
You can do whatever you want.
I could drive up this hill. I could do that. And I think I've told this story before where I hit the tractor tire on the bridge. Yeah, that. Tried to do four-wheeling, and I don't know how to do that. Broke the axle almost, and yeah.
It's dude,
great memories.
So
man.
That's the thing. I had a brush guard on mine, and literally, I would like run over stuff.
Just hit stuff.
I could.
Right. Yeah, I know. Like, you hit stuff, man.
Yeah, but it was. Hey, it had a bench seat on it. Like, it had a full actual. My truck had an actual bench seat.
I missed those.
And it was just awesome. You go to the fair in it. You go to a football game in it. Whatever. It was awesome.
Let's tailgate.
Dude, you could. Yeah. That was my truck. Got my parking pass, parked it at school.
Yes.
But yeah, so we got some interesting vehicles.
Dude, they are.
One person said Toyota 4Runner, which is actually a pretty sweet first car.
It is really sweet.
A Mercedes.
1992, though. Yeah. So
I don't know what an Aries K car is.
I don't either, but let's find out.
Dude, look it up. I'm interested to see what that looks like. Ooh, a 94 Camaro. I wonder if it's a V8 or if it was a V6 Camaro.
Oh, my. This thing is amazing. A Chrysler K platform.
Okay, so it's a Chrysler.
Yeah, the K car platform.
Why is it called a K car?
I don't know, but
it's K car.
Okay, I'll drive it.
What?
a Mazda 626.
Ford Explorer, another Ford Explorer.
Yes.
F-150. A Mustang convertible, a Nissan Sentra, 89 Mitsubishi Mighty Max truck. Hey.
What is that?
You've never seen a Mighty Max? It's like a what they call like a low boy truck. So they're like a little, they're a little bitty truck. Typically, they're manual shift or manual transmission.
Oh, wow.
Mighty
yeah.
Max, man.
That is sweet.
Dude, they're probably still on the road because they were probably crazy reliable.
Yeah, you could just
like those old lowboy Toyota trucks. It's like you actually would physically have to light it on fire for it to stop driving. To melt the whole
there's
car.
So much stuff.
And it would probably still crank. Buick Skyhawk. All right.
That's
a 99
sweet.
Toyota Corolla. Probably another car that's probably still running.
I guarantee that color of that car is probably a champagne like tan. You know what I mean?
Like that song, Justin Townes Earl. You ever heard that song, Champagne Corolla?
Nope.
It's a really good song. You should listen to it.
Okay.
05 Buick LeSabre. Now, what's up? Buick LeSabre.
What's up?
Dunda Mifflin is up out of Sabre. Oh, an 83 Ford Mustang burnt orange with moon disc hubcaps.
That sounds for your first car.
Yeah, and that was the Fox Body Mustang.
I don't know what that means.
It's like when the 5.0 became like the thing in the old Mustangs.
Mustang 5.0s?
The little body Mustangs.
My cousin had one of those, and it was amazing.
A lot of people like to build dragsters out of them because they're so light, but they put a pretty solid rear end in them. And crazy thing about those is a lot of people put Chevrolet motors in them when they drag them because they're just easier to build. Side note. All right. Well, what was the childhood dream car? We'll go ahead with the answers and then we'll get to our answers.
Yeah.
So someone said BMW.
Yeah, a nice BMW. You can't beat that.
Man. What else do we have there?
A 1960. Oh, they got specific. 1967 Mustang GT500. Oh, just like Eleanor.
And yep.
That movie is so good. You know, Gone in 60 Seconds?
Oh, for sure. It was like Nicolas Cage.
He starts talking to the car. Yeah. Hey, I need you to be like, yeah.
Dude, Eleanor was like one of the sweetest cars. It's like that GT500 is actually like, God, what a piece of Americana.
A legendary car.
Yeah, everybody wants that.
A pink convertible Volkswagen Beetle.
There you go.
I like it. Do they come with the flowers in the cup holder? You know what I'm talking about?
They do have a flower holder in them, in the newer ones.
Okay, that's actually...
Well, newer, they don't make them anymore. They discontinued them.
Really?
I bet they'll bring them back, but they discontinued
them. Yeah. Magnum PI Ferrari 308.
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed.
A Rolls-Royce Phantom. Okay, fancy. Hey, so I like this person, a Toyota Land Cruiser FJ40. More recently, a Hilux crew cab from the 80s or 90s. So
he's speaking your love language.
He's speaking
right
my love language, man.
I knew it.
Land Cruisers, like, I love them. And the Hilux, if you can find a Hilux. Now,
I don't know what that is.
A Hilux is essentially a Tacoma made in another country.
Huh.
So the EPA is really weird in the U.S., and they won't allow the Hiluxes. Why? Because they're diesel engines. They're extremely fuel efficient, and they last forever. However, emissions, they make them make a gas engine for the U.S. Because if you go to other countries,
yeah,
and you've probably seen this, most of the vehicles are diesels. Like if you go to like, you know, even in the Bahamas, Nicaragua, Mexico, a lot of their vehicles are diesel engine there, just because they're reliable and they, you know, they run. So a Hilux is essentially a Tacoma, and they
sweet.
Actually still make the Hilux.
In the, not in the U.S.
Not
though.
In the U.S., no. And so, They make a Forerunner version of the Hilux called the Surf, and it's basically the right-hand drive, and you can import them in the U.S. now, and they have I think it's a 3-liter turbo diesel in them.
Incredible.
You get like a diesel Forerunner, and they have these little mirrors on them. I don't know who this is exactly. You probably know them really
oh,
well.
Oh, yeah. I know Tommy.
So, Tommy, you're speaking my language when you said a Land Cruiser FJ40 or a Hilux crew cab from the 80s or 90s. There, the nostalgia also, it's another one of those vehicles you could flip over and flip it back over and drive. It's just actually,
good to go.
They're indestructible. Okay, so someone says a Jeep, which Jeeps are just cool.
Yeah, it's like if you like Legos, you like Jeeps.
Yeah.
Because you could just build whatever. You can make
so
it look
so many parts
exactly what you want it to look like.
And then someone said a Super M4, which is, who doesn't want the M4?
God, dude. That car is legendary to me because of the movie.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Fast and the Furious number one? It's got the the Mitsubishi Eclipse, lime green, that Paul Walker drives.
In the beginning, yeah.
In the beginning, yeah.
And
yeah.
then was it Johnny that caught on fire?
I don't know. I haven't seen that movie in forever.
So they had a Mark IV, and that's why he says M4 is Mark IV. It means like the fourth edition of the car. And interestingly enough, not a lot of the Supras made it to the U.S. That's why they're so sought after. So if you have a Mark IV Supra, and the 2JZ engine, like that's what he talks about in the movie.
Yeah.
Like that engine's actually legendary.
Really?
It's a twin turboed V6, like amazing engine, reliability, power. The car was actually way ahead of its time. Like it really was. And you could make crazy amount of power. Full disclosure, they would have had to build the absolute crap out of that car for it to outrun that Ferrari in that scene. Because you remember the scene, he goes, oh, what's the retail on one of those? And he goes, more than you can afford. And then Vin Diesel looks over, and what does he say?
I don't know.
Smoke him.
Dude, he's actually the worst. He's top five worst actors of all time.
But we just love him.
But you just go, family.
Family.
And a wife beater and a shaved head.
He's barbecue. He led the first small group, home group. Bros and Cars, we made on Fridays. But so they kind of mainstream tuners. We'll probably get to that. But yeah, the 2JZ was just a sick, sick engine. Yeah.
When did the first one come out?
Supra? I mean, they were out.
Fast and Furious, sorry.
Oh, man, that would have been, what, 2001?
2001, yeah, yes. One.
Yep. And I didn't see it in theaters. I actually saw it once it was like out on DVD.
Yeah.
And I saw it at my friend's house, and I remember I could not stop watching that movie.
It's amazing. It's actually amazing.
I just thought it was just it. That was like when tuner cars were taking over. And I remember my dad hated them.
American Muscle and tuners, not friends.
He was like American Muscle, and there was like a lot of like derogatory names they had for tuner cars and like making fun of them. And
yeah.
But that movie kind of did it, and we'll probably talk about that in a little bit. What was your childhood dream car, Josh?
Oh, man. It goes back to Hot Wheels. So I had a red Lamborghini Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that car, it was the one that I didn't play it with that car in the fireplace with all the rocks because I didn't want to get scraped up. Yeah. It was like burgundy, like metallic. Like that car.
Lambo doors. I'm pretty sure that was the first production car, meaning like produced for the consumer, that broke 200 miles an hour.
Really?
I'm not 100% positive. I'm pretty sure that was the first one. I think a Dumb and Dumber. In the scene when they're in Aspen, they were driving a Lamborghini Diablo. Yeah,
and when the doors go up, oh man, I just thought it's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
That car.
Lambos are sick. Do you know Lamborghini was a tractor company?
I did not know that.
Yeah, and the I forget the guy's name. Obviously, I think his last name is Lamborghini. But he was a tractor builder, and he bought a Ferrari, and he said, I could build a better car than this.
Oh, so Ferrari was out before Lamborghini.
Yes. And so he started building supercars. But yeah, they were a tractor company originally.
1990. That's it. That's the year. 1990 Lamborghini Diablo.
What a cool name too.
Diablo.
I feel like for me, it's probably like I had a lot of like childhood dream cars essentially.
Because you're a car person.
So my first one that I remember wanting was I knew someone that had a Corvette in the 90s. Dude. And I wanted one really, really bad. Like I wanted a Corvette super bad in the 90s. And so I think like I think I want a red Corvette when I was a kid. So that was probably like the first car that I wanted as a dream car. But dude, There was so many. The Lamborghini Murcielago.
Yes.
You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Need for Speed Hot Pursuit.
Yes. Video game. Car video games. It's its own category.
It is. Bro, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. Hot for teacher. Hot for teacher. Hot Pursuit, you could be the police officer.
Yeah.
Or you could be. And the Lamborghini Murcielago was like one of the sickest cars on that. I loved that car. Honestly, loved a lot of. Dude. If we're going to go Fast and the Furious, the Mazda RX-7 yes. that Vin Diesel had.
Yes.
In Too Fast, Too Furious, the GTR, the right-hand drive Skyline GTR that Paul Walker had
yep.
was sick, as well as the 69 Yinko Camaro at the end that he ramped into the boat.
Oh, the that's right. Yeah.
Dude, it like, and the Challenger, but I wanted that Yinko Camaro.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted it super bad. So. I had a lot of, there's too many childhood movies. So
especially
speaking
if you're
of
a car person,
next category, best car movie, Fast and Furious 1.
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah.
Which notable mention, Baby Driver.
I know, dude. What a, just overall incredible movie.
Well directed, great actors. If you haven't seen that movie, you should watch it. It is so, I'm surprised that Josh put it, because it's kind of an obscure movie. It wasn't like a massive mainstream movie.
Right, right, right.
What a great movie.
Oh, I loved it. It's so good. Jamie Foxx is in it.
Yeah.
Who's the handsome looking fellow that all the girls like?
Oh, gosh. And he had like tinnitus, and that's why I always listen to music. And
I don't know, but that movie, John Hamm's in it.
Yeah, yeah. What a great movie.
Just a good movie.
Also, Gone in 60 Seconds, we put that in there. Notable mention, Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, that should have been in there. I just, if I'm honest with you, I was a little biased, and I put Herbie in the love bug, because yeah. I used to love that movie growing up.
Little Herbie. Herbert.
Just a robot car back in the day.
And I love car movies. Like, if we're going to talk about Fast and Furious, but let's be honest, they need to stop making those movies.
Yeah.
It's over. You wore it out. And that,
this is no more family.
Another discussion. Yeah. Another discussion for another day. I'm sick of them making sequels. It's like no one can write anything original. And I've said this about Marvel.
Yep.
Stop making movies for a while.
Yep.
But the same thing with Fast and Furious. Like, Rocky, great franchise. They knew when to stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they probably could have stopped after 4.
Right, right. And it would have been Drago,
we beat the communists in that movie.
Done. Came over. That soundtrack alone is amazing. But Fast and the Furious was first place, second place Gone in 60 Seconds, third place Baby Driver, and then the one vote, which probably was me, was Herbie the Love Bug. What a classic.
He's a lovable bug.
But yeah, did you ever get car magazines?
Oh, dude, yeah. Oh, what was the one that I had a buddy and his like grandpa got all the muscle car and hot rod magazines?
Oh, yeah.
And I had to watch out because there's always like half naked women all the way through it.
Yeah, they'll sneak up on you when you're in there.
But I loved looking at car like magazines, just all the cool parts they put on them. And, you know, they had like low riders, and then they had like lifted trucks, and then they had like Muscle Car Magazine and Car and Driver. And, you know, that was like
Remember, the, or Motor Trend.
Motor Trend. That was like the car magazine before like the internet.
You yes. Because like there was none.
Now you can look up any amount of information you want on a car, but then you really got your information in regards to what to buy off of there. And I think in some ways we're like polarized, but yeah, that dude, Fast and the Furious for me, it was like when my love for cars was already there and it just went up. And there was a lot of hate for movies like that because then tuners became super popular, which if you don't know what a tuner is, muscle cars are like nostalgic, old, big body, metal,
American cars,
massive engines. They sound amazing.
Yep.
And like, you know, Camaro, Chevelle, Nova, Mustang, like Trans Am, all those
Gran Torino,
big Ford Gran Torino.
What a great car.
And a movie.
Hey, yes. You know, my favorite like American muscle car, is, oh my gosh. Oh, my dad, we would always go to the drag races
yeah.
in Ocala. and it would you could sign up whatever car you had to drag race if you wanted to.
Yeah.
This all black Grand National.
Buick Grand National.
Didn't know what it was. I was like, this old car? Dad, this car is... I'm like 12. This car's going to get smoked. And my dad goes, not a chance.
Not an old, like, Grand National.
That's a Mustang. He's like, watch what's about to happen. And this old dude was in there, but he knew. And dude, it was embarrassing. And the guy was like, you know, Mustang.
Yeah.
He was a younger dude. That Grand National smoked it. And it was just... I'm like, this is forever my top 10 favorite car of all time.
Yeah. Buick Grand National kind of revolutionized turbo power, too. Like, they were kind of the introduction to American turbo vehicles.
Yeah.
Because before that, the V8 ran king. Like, you look at even, like, the 30s and 40s, like, V8s were the thing. And they had no power then, but during the time of V8, like, if you had a Ford V8, it was like, man, you had the car. And then... you know, you have the 60s, 50s and 60s came along, and that's when jets were, like, really popular. They were, like, the futuristic thing, like planes.
Yeah.
Jet planes. And so every car, even if you look at the design, they were built to look like jets. Like,
interesting.
Even if you look at some of the lighting fixtures and some of the things they put on top
especially
of
the old Corvettes.
The ornaments. Yeah, they were meant to look like a jet. They had that same design, and there was a lot of craftsmanship in building those cars. And so then the Buick Grand National enters, and it doesn't have a V8 in it. It has a single turbo 3.8 V6 in it.
Freaking amazing.
And people didn't really know what turbo power was at the time. You know, it was kind of something that was weird. In case you didn't know what a turbocharger is.
Yeah, help me understand.
So you have,
I know what it is, but...
forced induction. There's two, like, kind of big waves of that. You have a supercharger, which is attached to the top of the engine. And it has a pulley. So you know the pulleys that are in the front of your car that are connected to the fan?
Yep.
So it has a pulley. And when that pulley turns, it blows forced air into your engine. That then, like, mixes with fuel, creating more power because it's putting more oxygen.
Right.
Creating more combustion. A turbo is different because it doesn't have a pulley. So with a supercharger, it's always pushing air into the engine. With a turbo... so it makes power super quick. Turbos, typically the car can last a little longer because it's not forcing air all the time. But with a turbo, it actually takes the engine's exhaust that's coming off of the engine.
Yeah.
That exhaust is blowing into the backside, the hot side of the turbo. And then the cool side of the turbo, it's connected on another side. So when the exhaust comes out, it spins the turbo. The turbo blows through a piping to the front of your car into what's called an intercooler. That's like where the radiator is.
Yeah.
It grabs that air, puts it in the engine, and then... so it's basically reverting exhaust air.
Oh, rather than just having it forced in there.
It's using your exhaust in order to create...
I love the sound that they make. That high whistle sound.
Who doesn't love it? But yeah, so Buick, what was crazy is I remember my dad telling me the Grand Nationals, everybody was mad because they all had V8s, and these V6 cars were just smoking everybody.
Yeah,
and they couldn't believe it. So that was kind of like the original tuner, if we're going to be honest.
Dude, I'm here for it.
God, what a great car. I'd love to have one.
Yes. I remember, after Fast and the Furious, I begged my dad. I said, Dad, can I please get a year subscription of Import Tuner magazine, please? And so, I don't know if it was my birthday, Christmas, or whatever, but I started getting those Import Tuner magazines. Incredible. I'd rip out certain cars and put them in folders. I was like, oh, this is my dream car. It just had, I don't know, maybe it's a dude thing. I don't get it, but.
Tuners really were a way that someone that didn't have this V8 kind of money were able to make power out of a small, small engine. And what they did is basically they just put boost to it, like turbo, and just made it go. And it's amazing, like, the fact that, you know, like a Subaru WRX.
I love that car.
Let's talk about that. That's like one of those cars that's super fast. Some of the Mitsubishi cars. Dude, you ever love the 3000 GT? Do you remember those? The big Mitsubishi car?
Yes.
What a cool car.
With the
car.
Flat lights up front? Yeah, dude.
Nissan 300ZX?
Yep.
I love that car. It was ahead of its time. They call it the Fair Lady Z. God, I love cars. Yeah, dude, our next segment is funny rental car stories. I feel like we rent a lot of cars. Maybe other people don't.
Yeah, when I threw it on it and no one answered, I go, maybe this is just something that, I don't know, me and you did, but... We could just skip this one.
Honestly, we've had a lot of interesting rental stories. What's the coolest rental car you've ever gotten? We'll go there.
Gosh, it's not really that impressive. I don't think I've ever.
Or what's your favorite rental car? Let's do that.
That I've driven. You're gonna make fun of me. It was a giant Sprinter van.
Dude, had so much space.
It was the luxury one where that had like the extended roof.
Yeah,
and it was just. It was the best car to travel in, but the front of it was, it had a screen.
Yeah.
It had about 19 cup holders up there.
Yeah.
You could place
cockpit.
Dude, I just felt like I was driving like, all right, I'm going to get us there. It just felt awesome.
I love that.
Little captain seat.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, and this will tell you how I get older, one of the cooler cars I got a little while back, I've had Challengers, Chargers, all that stuff. I got a 1LE SS Camaro at the beginning of the year.
Oh, nice.
That was sick. But honestly, we drive a lot, like long distance,
yep,
when we do rent cars for work. And so as far as that goes, I would say my favorite is one of those big Buick SUVs. I forget what it's called. It's like a Buick SUV, but it's massive. We rented one time. It was like three rows of seats, and it felt like I was driving a couch. And
right.
It just, yeah, it was so comfortable. More comfortable. Like, I've rented, like, even Escalades before that weren't, you know, like a Tahoe or something. It wasn't as comfortable. That Buick SUV was incredible.
Those new, yeah.
And
the new SUVs.
It wasn't fast. It wasn't flashy. Mm-mm. It was, but dude, I figured out why old people get them. That thing rode like a dream. Yeah. I forget the name. I'll figure it out. But big Buick SUV.
What a classic.
So, all right, we'll do current car you drive. We got quite a few answers. And people drive pretty reasonable vehicles.
Yeah, a lot of these are really nice cars.
So Escalade, right up top, they put Mom Mobile.
I don't know. I feel like that's like...
It's anyone mobile. Those things are nice.
An Escalade? Yeah. I remember the first time I saw an Escalade, where I was at the mall with my mom, and up pulls this Escalade, and my favorite Jaguar player at the time, his name was Mike Hollis.
Yeah, I remember kicker. Mike Hollis.
He walks out of there, and I go, oh, my God, Mike Hollis has an Escalade.
A Cadillac Escalade.
Dude, it was so cool.
It's honestly, not only is it a practical, large SUV, it's also kind of like a little bit of a status symbol.
It's just not. Yeah, that big grill up on the front.
Yeah, if you have an Escalade, it's like, dude, that thing is nice.
You've made it.
So then we got a Chevy Equinox, which is a nice midsize SUV. Another Equinox.
Yeah.
Someone said my mom's old Nissan Altima.
Yeah.
I feel you there. Kia Soul, super cute car.
Dude, all right. Have you ever driven one?
I haven't, but I have. My buddy Chris had one, and when I was in Texas, I drove it.
Dude, that sucker in sports mode, I feel like the little hamster on the commercial.
My buddy Chris's is a manual.
Oh, yeah. It's a go-kart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. Jeep. Okay, cool car. Dude, someone put a Subaru Crosstrek. I think that's your brother.
Yep.
Dude, that is a cool car.
It is cool, dude.
They kind of have like almost like a cult following, the Subaru Crosstrek.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. Brittany had a Subaru when we first got married. And when we lived in
Nashville. I love them, dude.
That car, it was like a sedan. It wasn't even like their little hatch cars. It was like a Subaru Legacy. That thing would almost go in as many places as my big F-150 would. And
just off-road.
Like when it snowed. And the only time it wouldn't be able to is if it snowed like too much to where the car would just bottom out. But that car would go just as good as most any four-wheel drive truck. It was incredible.
Them. They do have a cult following.
Yeah.
Especially in Asheville.
And yeah, dude. You can, in the words of my dad, you can't throw a cat in Asheville without hitting a Subaru.
Poor cats.
Why are you throwing cats at? Someone says a Highlander. Oh, that's Burt Dentley. Highlander.
Yeah,
what every kid dreams of driving when they grow up. But Highlander's a great car. Reliable. Family. Dude, safe.
That car, which Dylan's a guy, my buddy Dylan, who I love very much, he can fix anything.
Okay.
He's fixed my car multiple times. He's fixed that car multiple. He's just, hey, that door squeaking. I said, oh, yeah, I can fix it. What tools do you have? And I just be like, these are all the tools
pocket
I have.
Pocket knife.
Yeah, I can fix it. Not a problem.
Oh, Dodge truck, Cybertruck pre-ordered. So they're getting a Tesla Cybertruck.
What?
Sick.
I have to see that as soon as it comes
2019
in.
Honda HRV, Dodge Durango, 2012 Honda Civic, and a Ford Ranger.
Dude, the new Ford Rangers, I really like.
Yeah, even the old ones are great.
I do like the old ones, too.
My mom and stepdad have one that they use, like, around their shop.
A work truck?
And it's my stepdad's truck.
I love it.
And it's a little tank, man.
The little pickup trucks, man.
And I used to knock those because, like, they're so small, but I get it because not everybody needs, like, a massive, massive truck.
Me and the truck that you have now, I get, yeah. I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing?
Hey, man, stop it.
I had to hop up to get in there.
What's your current vehicle, Josh?
My current vehicle, what I realized is my car has a cult following. It's a Honda Element.
They do.
That sucker is tangerine orange, man. You can't miss it.
I love that you call it the toaster.
It is the toaster, man. It is an orange toaster. I love that car. Everyone's, you know, I get jokes of like, oh, sweet mom car. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. Moms are superheroes, so thank you for calling me a superhero.
Yeah.
You get in the back, and you're like, wow, you get to see everything.
Surprisingly roomy.
Yep. I've camped in that sucker. You can do anything in that car.
You know another car that has a cult following is an FJ Cruiser. They don't make them anymore, the Toyotas.
They have a cult following?
Oh, dude.
Really?
And they're cool cars.
They are sweet.
I drive one for sure. Really not aerodynamic, but cool car.
What do you drive?
I have like a few vehicles. I feel like I'm a little.
You do.
I have a Toyota 4Runner, and that's kind of my like. I feel like it was my hunting vehicle, and I made it a daily when I sold my F-150.
Yeah.
And I put a lift on it, roof rack.
That's sweet.
I have a Harley Davidson Road King Classic. I love that bike. And then I have a Dodge Ram 2500 with a 24-valve 5.9 Cummins diesel in it.
That thing is massive.
I recently bought that truck, and it is because I've actually always wanted like a pre-emissions diesel. So after a certain year, like with diesel trucks, the EPA started making them get like all these things on the engines that like basically kept the emissions down. And in doing that, they actually like hurt the diesel engine of like being able to breathe properly. It made the reliability go down a bit. But there was like two diesel engines that I just always loved, and it was the 5.9 Cummins and the 7.3 Power Stroke Ford and Dodge. Interestingly enough, the Ford engine's made by International and the Dodge engine is made by Cummins. So they're like not even actually made by the manufacturer at the time. But I've always wanted that truck. And the reason is Walker, Texas Ranger, drove a second-gen Dodge Ram.
Yes.
As well as the movie Twister, where they put the what was that thing that they put in the back of it?
Dorothy,
yeah. They put Dorothy in the back of this Dodge truck, and it was actually that truck. So there's a lot of, like, nostalgia with those diesel trucks. So I recently bought it. But it is, like, actually a massive vehicle.
It is amazing.
Like I said,
I had to hop up there to get in there.
It's loud, and it just, I don't know, it feels like you're driving a semi almost. But yeah, that's my current vehicles. But I'm probably gonna have to thin the herd a little bit, so if anyone wants to buy something,
you can buy any one of those cars.
Well, it's just like insurance and gas. I'm not able to drive all that, so the diesel stays. But
that's beautiful.
But I, like, dude, I've had a lot of cool cars in the past, muscle cars, tuners. Oh, yeah. A lot of people, like, discriminate. They only want, like, a certain type of car. For me, I don't know if you're probably like this. I just love vehicles. Like, I like Jeeps. I like trucks. I like muscle cars. I like tuners. I like exotic cars, supercars, you name it.
You have the knowledge. Like, some people like cars. Like, I like cars. But you have the knowledge of cars, and I don't understand it.
I feel like the amount impressive of knowledge that I have for cars, it like pales in comparison to some people in my family. Like,
so it's a car family, like a vehicle family.
I would say so, and like just we love automobiles, and you know, I've been able to tinker around with some cool stuff over the years, and I've always had some sort of cool vehicle, you know, around to work on or, you know, whatever. I like stuff like that. I like learning, like, all the ins and outs of engineering the vehicle and all that. So, yeah, cars are an interesting thing. And we might do like a Vehicle Boys part two where we just talk about like movies or, you know, our like what everybody's favorite this or that is or, you know, what kind of tires you run. I don't know.
What kind of tires you got?
What kind of tires you get? You get them Michelins?
Michelin.
Yeah, so this is a fun episode, and
I enjoyed it. I learned a lot about cars.
Yeah.
Hopefully you did too.
I think we all learned a little bit about ourselves. Sometimes I geek out, so if I go down rabbit holes, I'm sorry. I just love.
Got to rope them in.
We love, dude, and what's cool is we both had vehicles that we always, like, dreamed of having growing up. So, yeah. Well, as we're wrapping up, what can our listeners do, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, we reminded you in the beginning of this episode, you could follow us on Instagram. We're going to be dropping some content. We're going to do a segment of, you know, Sip of the Day where we just rate some drinks. And if you got any suggestions of what I need to drink and rate, DM us. Let us know. Let me know. I have no idea. I have quite a catalog of drinks I have to try.
Sure.
And hopefully I can survive at the end of this. But if you subscribe, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, but leave a review. We want to know how we're doing.
Yeah, and like that helps. You know, DM us if it's a bad review.
Yeah, talk to us first. I'd like to know.
Just because personally we would like to get better, but not in a public. What do we say? It's a private critic, but a public fan.
A private critic and a raving fan.
Yeah.
That's the best kind of friend.
Critique in private, praise in public. So, yeah. And if you're that person that critiques people in public, stop. That's not a good friend.
Yeah, don't be
good
a jerk.
Good friends don't do that. But, yeah, we love you guys. Subscribe, like, follow, share with a friend. We're back.
And yeah, baby.
We've got some good content coming up soon. So love y'all. We'll see you soon.
Later.
Drive something.